by sleep. The night has its dominion, as has the day. There are treasures at night, as there are treasures at daytime. Normally, people know well of the dominion of the daytime, its men and its treasures. But few among people are aware of the value of the dominion of the night. Few of people are aware that there are many treasures hidden inside the night time, and it has its men. If a person combines the dominion of the night with that of the day, then such a man is sound, rightly guided, and well-balanced. Just as the Holy Prophet ﷺ was the man of both. He would take love, sincerity, and remembrance from the night, as he would acquire power, strength, and wealth from the daytime in order to pave the way for propagation of the message of the Islam, and of course strengthening it. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So the vigil at night used to help him and make it possible for him to carry the heavy load of prophethood. He the Exalted says in this regard, O you wrapped up in your mantle, stand vigil through the night, except a little, a half, or reduce a little from that. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ إِنْقُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. And it continues saying, أَوْزِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Or add to it and recite the Qur'an in a measured tone. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Indeed, soon we shall cast you a weighty word. Indeed, the watch of the night is firmer in tread and more upright in respect to speech. إِنَّا نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْئًا وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. And at the end it says, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. For indeed, during the day, you have drawn out engagements. In the same regard, it has been narrated that Allah the Exalted once revealed to one of the truthful ones and said, I have servants from among my creatures who love me, so I love them. They yearn for me and I yearn for them. They remember me and I remember them. They gaze at me and I gaze at them. If you follow in their way, I shall love you. And if you turn away from them, I shall hate you. He said, O Lord, what are their characteristics? He the Exalted answered, they watch the shadow during daytime, just like a kind of a shepherd that watches his sheep. They crave for sunset, just as a bird craves for her nest at sunset. When the night covers them, and the darkness gets intense, when the mats are spread and when the beds are prepared, and every lover retires with his beloved, they rise to their feet for me. They spread their faces toward me, and they secretly call on me with my speech, and they cling unto me with my melody.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. آب کم جو تشنگی آور به دست. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. تا بجوشد آب از بالا و پست. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
This beautiful divine narration continues saying, you will find some of them crying and lamenting, moaning and complaining, while some others are standing and sitting, bowing down, prostrating. I see what they endure because of me, and I hear their complaint out of love for me. And this interesting divine narration ends up saying, the foremost of what I give them are three things. I cast of my light into their hearts such that they talk of me and I talk of them. If the heavens and the earth were to be in their scales, I would undervalue that for them, and I turn toward them with my face. Can you tell me of anyone who is aware of what I intend to give him toward whom I have turned my face? Dear listeners, this was a kind of illustration of the state of yearning towards the Almighty Allah in our supplications. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
French citizens fear that France is becoming a police state. They believe that the regime in Paris wants to limit their freedoms. France has been the scene of social violence recently. People in France are protesting against a draft controversial security law. The legislation, known as the Global Security Bill, restricts filming on duty police officers. Article 24 of the proposed bill makes it a criminal offence to publish images of on-duty police officers with the intent to harm their physical or psychological integrity. It says offenders could face up to a year in prison and be fined 45,000 euros. Protesters described the bill as France's way of curbing freedoms while preaching their importance to others. According to France's police watchdog, the IPGN, there were almost 1,500 complaints against officers last year, half of them for alleged violence. The timing of this bill couldn't be worse. It was voted right after a video was circulating online of the brutal arrest of a black music producer for not wearing a mask. The United Nations Human Rights Chief also urged France to withdraw a controversial part of its global security bill that would curb the freedom to share images identifying police. There's much truth to this statement. In France, it seems that racism and hatred against minorities and people of color is historic. France was a colonialist empire. The first colonial empire in France began in 1534, and the second colonial empire began in 1830. For example, Bordeaux was France's second largest slave port and prospered off the lucrative trade, deporting 150,000 African slaves to the Americans from 1672 to 1837 and providing Europe with goods such as cocoa, sugar, and cotton. These historic realities are not mentioned on the banners. The new sign for the statue of slave trader David Gradis, who lived from 1665 to 1751 in the French city of Bordeaux, explains that he had 10 slave ships and provided a plot of land that became the city's first Jewish cemetery. It says nothing about his slave deals with American settlers. Another controversial statue is that of deceased colonizer Louis Faidherbe in the northern city of Lille, France. In the decades following the French Revolution and Napoleon's final defeat at Waterloo back in 1815, a new movement called Romanticism began to flourish in France. France, through many liberal and social movements, tried to paint a different picture of its past. But even the French president recently emphasized that France is the same as it always was and won't change its past. But racism is not the only problem in France. Recently, there has been a spike of Islamophobia there. After the controversial law on global security and the massive protest against it, the French government has approved another controversial bill, this time called Law on Separatism, provoking another round of popular protests against it too. France guarantees the freedom of religion by virtue of the 1789 Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. The Republic is based on the principle of laicity, that is, of freedom of religion enforced by Jules Ferry laws and the 1905 Law on the Separation of the State and the Church. Paris has traditionally been associated with alternative artistic or intellectual subcultures, many of which involved foreigners. But it seems that things have changed in France, especially with the rise of Muslim immigrants there and across Europe. France's Prime Minister Castex openly said that this bill targets what he called radical Islam, enemy of the Republic. Paris has promoted the bill to target separatists undermining the nation and Muslims. The bill comes after outrage in the aftermath of a measure by French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, which reprinted offensive caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in October of 2020. Charlie Hebdo's measure drew strong criticism from Muslims in France and Muslim countries, who called it an Islamophobic act, despite which French President Emmanuel Macron refused to condemn the measure, citing freedom of expression and claiming that it was not right for a political leader to get involved in editorial matters. The cartoons were originally published by the Danish newspaper Jyllands Posten in 2005 and then republished by Charlie Hebdo in 2006. Human rights groups have raised concerns over the law, saying it would discriminate and stigmatize French Muslims. The bill in question requires that everyone strictly respects the French Republican principles of secularism, whatever that might mean. The funding of Muslim associations and mosques will be closely monitored. The main association in defense of Muslims, the CCIF, was dissolved. All organizations will have to sign a declaration on secularism if they want to receive funds from the state. In case of non-compliance, they would have to refund the money. In 1990, riots are triggered after two North Africans are shot dead. Also that same year, thousands of people commemorate killing of 17-year-old Moroccan in a racist incident. In 1991, police clash with French Arabs and North Africans. In 1992, tens of thousands of protesters take to the streets to demand change against racism. In 1993, the government approves a draft law to reinstate key provisions of its immigration law declared unconstitutional a month earlier. In 1997, thousands of protesters demonstrated across France against proposed legislation that would further tighten immigration controls. Minorities in France, whether people of color or Muslims, believe that the situation nowadays has got even worse. With the rise of police brutality against blacks and the rise in Islamophobia, supported directly by the state, they're going to have to live with new realities in a nation that has long preached human rights values and democracy while covering up its controversial racist and colonialist past.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering your doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
الله هو ذا الرحمن الله هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers, sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A, Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to answer some questions with regard to theology, and we are trying to cover different questions about the questions in religion and theology. Like always, an expert or speaker from Qom Seminary Schools has been invited to this show. Sheikh Murtada Karimi is in the studio. I'd just like to say salam to Sheikh and welcome him to the studio.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Sheikh. Thanks for accepting the invitation. Today's question is a bit different with the questions that we had earlier, because this question is going to talk about the last Savior on the earth and the person that all the people are waiting for him, that is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. It is said that what is the reason that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Imam of the Age, has not reappeared yet? What is the reason? What else should be done on the scene of earth to make the scene ready, to make the earth ready for his reappearance? It is being said that the earth should be full of oppression and tyranny that Imam will emerge. So don't you think that earth has been overwhelmed with tyranny and oppression till now? And can't we see the oppression that goes to the people in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in some Islamic countries, in Nigeria, in African countries, the oppression that different so-called superpowers are imposing on poor nations and weaker nations, and it makes people die, and it makes people to be killed? So what else is needed to be done to pave the way for the reappearance of Imam Zaman? Is it the same as it to go and make this oppression more, as some belief, unfortunately, wrongly, based on some hadith, that they need to make the oppression more in the world so that they make the earth ready for the reappearance of Imam Zaman? So what is the reason of his absence? When will Imam be back to the world to save the humanity?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Some people think that the great amount of oppression that we have today is a good reason for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to reappear.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that if this was the case,
yeah,
then the Imam should not go into occultation to begin with. Because back then, at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and before him, yeah, and the time of the other Imams, we have the same oppression prevalent in different parts of the world. When we are talking about Islamic territories, which oppression is more severe? The one that we see today, or the fact that the grandchild of the Prophet and his companions and his family members are killed and beheaded on the day of Ashura? This is a great oppression. Maybe no oppression can be compared to
that. This oppression, no doubt that it was an oppression on the grandson of the Holy Prophet, but they were few in number. Let's say, for example, 72, not at most 100 people were killed and martyred there. But in today's world, we see that thousands of people are being killed every day. Do you think that they are comparable?
So I'm giving you some examples to come to this conclusion that the amount of oppression is not the cause of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. I will come to the narration Kama Mula al-Zulman wa Jawra or Ba'dama Mula al-Zulman wa Jawra. So my point is that during the history of Islam, at the time of the tragedy of Karbala was limited to, let's say, 72 people. But during the Umayyad Caliphs, especially for the Shi'as, we have massacres of the Shia in different uprisings. For many years, Imam alayhi salam is cursed on the pulpits. The Imams are in prison. Whoever is named after the name of the Imam alayhi salam or Imam al-Hassan or Imam Hussein, they are killed. In some period in the history of Islam and history of humankind, we have the invasion of the Mongols and some other dynasty that they made heinous crimes. When we're talking about Yazid, we know that how he killed the people of the city of Medina, so they were not few in number. My point is that oppression was already there, even before the occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And this occultation was one of the reasons that he went into occultation to save his life. So we have to take into consideration the fact that oppression in and of itself is not a reason for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to reappear. When mm-hmm. we read the history recently, we know that in World War II, about, I think, only in Iran, according to some statistics, 9 million people they somehow were massacred out of hunger, yeah, according to some statistics. 9 million people. And in the World War I and II, we know that tens of million people were killed in different countries of the world.
This nine million death toll in Iran was not because of hunger, because of a virus that was actually viral.
There are different scenarios. As far as I know, one of the reasons was also a kind of fatigue,
which occurred
in some parts of Iran, and it was a kind of oppression by the Western countries.
Very true. By UK.
By
British government.
Yeah, within maybe months, only in one country, 9 million people, they we can see that they were massacred. Mm-hmm. It's not a natural death. So oppression has been there already.
True.
You can, I mean, if we imagine that time, World War the First and the Second, those people who were killed, and in our case, Islamic, I mean, the country of Iran, you see that compared to this time, maybe that oppression was greater. My point is that when we imagine all these cases, oppression in and of itself is not a reason for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam to reappear. Rather, what is mentioned in the narration is that kama mole'at zulman wa jawra, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will fill the earth with justice when the world is full of injustice. Now, the point is that at least to this time it has not realized. I mean, the fact that you cannot find any place in world where justice is not applied. All the human beings are under oppression. This is not the case. I mean, it is true that many people, especially in Islamic countries, Yemen,
so we should not expect for the Imam to come in near future then?
Do not know about future. I mean, about the next year, about the following years, what I mean, the superpowers of the world are going to do. So, I mean, we cannot have a judgment about the future. All the time, for according to the narrations, we should be hopeful for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. But the other point regarding that is the fact that, because some people, they say that in that case, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has no benefit. He is in occultation, he's not helping the people, and many people are suffering. So what is the use of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? We have it in the narrations comparing Imam to the sun beyond the clouds.
Yeah.
Now the point is that Imam at least has two functions. One of them is government, and the other is imamate and helping the people through different ways. Although Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because he is in occultation, he does not have the function of government and running a government, but he is the imam of the people. According to our narrations, imam, if the earth is without the divine proof, there would be no human being on the earth. Everyone will perish. And there are different cases, at least, that we can make sure that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is helping the people. In a narration from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, he himself says that I'm not, negligent about your affairs.
Yeah.
And some examples can be mentioned in the history of Islamic Republic of Iran in the 8-year imposed war. You know, the Quran says about the divine help for the Muslims in the Battle of Badr, for example, those angels who helped the Prophet and the companions of the Prophet. So how come we could imagine that Islamic Republic of Iran, with all those problems, was able to resist all the superpowers in the world? It was not only through, physical ways and natural ways. How the Yemeni people, with all this problem, now are able to not only resist the Saudi Arabia and all those Western countries, but also to have an upper hand in this war. We can think about the people in Lebanon and in some other countries.
Yeah.
So the point is that at least as Shia, we can make sure that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, through spiritual ways, is helping the people who are trying their best.
So, Sheikh, what is the good of an imam who is absent and he's not among his followers then? You said that some of the benefits of imam, but these are spiritual. Can they be interpreted or, let's say, explained for the people who just know what is tangible, what can be sensed? Is it a good way to, for example, tell them, look at spiritual help that imam gives to you, and he does so-and-so, and you do not understand what... But it is difficult to be proof, Sheikh, for ordinary people with materialistic worldview.
First of all, it is important for us to know who is asking this question. We are not answering, non-Muslims because they do not believe in Mahdi. We are not answering our Sunni brothers because they do not believe in a person who has been born. Yeah. We are answering the Shia who have asked this question. So already they believe in all these concepts that we mentioned. Without an imam, the earth would not continue to mm-hmm. live. The creatures would stop living on the earth.
Thank you very much.
And the second point is that it's not only spiritual. All these examples that I mentioned, imam is helping spiritually speaking, but the results and the effects are tangible. The mm-hmm. victory of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the victories of Yemenis, Lebanese people, all these Shias, the results are tangible.
The results are tangible, but can they be applied to the help of an imam? This is something else, because imam cannot be seen, and people say, okay, this is Allah's will that wanted to help the Muslims.
I told you, if you're answering a Shia,
yeah.
So because of the narrations that we have, we can make sure that this divine help is mm-hmm. coming us through the imam, which is a kind of intermediary between us and Allah.
One more short question, Sheikh. You said that we have not yet seen those oppressions, and it takes time, for example, for the world to be full of oppression and tyranny. So and does it mean people should wait for more oppressions and more tyranny to come, and then so it's going to be the world going to be darker than whatever it is? And then is there any possibility to interpret the hadith and narrations that even there is a possibility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it overnight, to make the world prepared for the imam to come without this oppression? Is it possible also?
This is a very important topic. We need to, inshallah, talk it separately. But to put it in a nutshell, imam, first of all, after when the world is filled with injustice, imam alayhi salam reappears. But second of all, according to the narrations, imam also needs some people to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people, as you mentioned, think that imam Mahdi alayhi salam will overcome his enemies out of a miracle. No. I mean, through natural ways, Imam alayhi salam will defeat the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And he must be helped in the first circle by 313 people.
Yeah.
In the second circle, it must be thousands of people, because sometimes people think that Imam Mahdi is waiting for 313 only. It's not the case. I mean, these 313 people are the first circle around the Imam. I mean, those people who will act as maybe the commanders. But then we need many other people to help Imam Mahdi. So the inhabitants of the earth mm-hmm. should also prepare themselves to be able to help Imam Mahdi alayhi salam for his cause.
Thank you very much. Inshallah, we shall continue this question and discussion in our upcoming session. Thank you, Sheikh. And you respected listeners, many thanks for your listening to Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. I leave in Allah's protection. Join us in our next session. Till then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى محن.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. We were talking about his viewpoints in regards to the theology and the servitude. And today the saying that we have in this saying, Imam Khomeini has said that God, the blessed and exalted, has granted us all his blessings, and we must spend in his path the things he has granted. Basically, Imam Khomeini is saying that everything that we have is from God. Everything that we have in our life, our own life, the life that we are living, number one. After that, obviously, whatever we earn, it is from God. Even the mind that we have, through which we think, the rationality, all the intellect that we have, this is all given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He has created us this way. So when He has created us this way, therefore everything that we have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the wealth that we have, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge that we have, it is from God. So He says that, remember that everything is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the blessings of God. So we must spend it in His path. If we have money, you should spend it in His path. If you have knowledge, you should spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
If you have, for example, intellect, you should spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have humbleness, everything that you have, it should be for a divine cause. And once you spend all these things for the divine cause, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be considered as it has been spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Imam Khomeini is referring to. Most of us, they sometimes think that whatever they have is from their own, and they do not spend it in the path of Allah. And that's where Quran is basically warning us that if you do not spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that are given to you by Allah, then there is a punishment. But if you spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you become the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become the true servant and the one who is obedient. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ was the best servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we witness this in our daily prayers, where we say, "Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." He is the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because whatever he had, he spent it in the path of God. Inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq, a chance to live according to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
الملك يومئذ لله يحكم بينهم الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات في جنات النعيم.
All sovereignty that day is for Allah. He will judge between them. So they who believed and did righteous deeds will be in gardens of pleasure.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ.
And they who disbelieved and denied our signs, for those there will be a humiliating punishment.
الملك يومئذ لله يحكم بينهم فالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات في جنات النعيم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا فأولئك لهم عذاب مهين. On that day, the sovereignty will be Allah's. He will judge between them, and those who believe and do righteous deeds will be in gardens of bliss. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا And those who disbelieve and reject our signs, these for them shall be a disgraceful chastisement. You may remember in the previous program, we talked about the 56th verse, الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ The Almighty Allah will judge between the people, and the criterion of the Almighty Allah's judgment on the day of hereafter will be the belief and the disbelief of human beings. So, in the 57th verse, it is saying that the retribution of those who arrogantly have not accepted the truth, although they knew what the truth was, will be a humiliating punishment. But we understood that for believers, they will abide in some blessed gardens where all merits are found and whatever goodness and blessing they desire, they will find available therein. But it was only one part of the judgment of the Almighty Allah. For those disbelievers, the Holy Verse says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا Those who disbelieve and reject our signs, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ So, after knowing the fact that on hereafter, no one has got power other than the Almighty Allah, since He is the true owner, and of course, considering the fact that He will judge on that day based on what we have done in this world, how we have believed, and how we have acquired knowledge and belief, then we understand that for these disbelievers, what awaits them? What an expressive and lively meaning this verse has. Those who disbelieve and reject our signs, for them shall be a disgraceful chastisement. There will be this kind of chastisement for them as a result of those obstinacies, those conceits and arrogances they wrongfully had against the servants of Allah, sometimes the holy prophets. And these qualities cause them to fall to the lowest degree of degradation and, of course, humiliation. And we know that when in different verses the Quran qualifies the divine punishment as to be painful, as to be great and disgraceful, each of them is appropriate with the kind of the sin that such people have committed. Since we mentioned earlier that the Almighty Allah judges based on our acts in this world.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
we
approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
It is interesting that when speaking of the believers, the Quran points to two things, the faith and the righteous deeds, And on the contrary, when speaking of the disbelievers, it points to two other things, disbelief and their rejection of the divine verses, each of which, in fact, is a combination of their internal belief and their external practical effects. We can conclude this principle that since the man's deeds often originate from a mental and ideological source, that this verse and Holy Quran in this verse is pointing to this very interesting and, of course, true point and principle. So, the judgment on that day is between the people and it will be based upon their deeds. And since their deeds originate from their thoughts, we can directly say that the Almighty Allah will judge based upon their thoughts and their beliefs. Anyway, the chastisement of the man, or better say, the one who doesn't accept the truth, the one who knows what the truth is, but obstinately turns away from the truth, is and will be a disgraceful chastisement. And it seems that he somehow has acted disgracefully with the truth in this world, and this is what awaits him in hereafter. فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for them shall be a disgraceful chastisement. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling he would say, I am a Muslim. Deen al-Islam, deeni, wal-Azam, ghayru deeni, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to be talking about some of the Islamic laws hovering around marriage or marriage-related questions according to Ayatollah Sistani. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of 5, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hausa lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy like Sharh Manzumah Sabzawari and Sharh Ishraq. Meanwhile, he attended Kharij lectures by the late Mirza Mehdi Ashtiani and the late Mirza Hashim Qazwini. In the late 1368 Hijri, he migrated to Qum to accomplish his studies in fiqh and usul. His Eminence left Qum for Najaf al-Ashraf. On having arrived in Najaf, he began attending Qayatullah Khoi and Sheikh Hussain Hilli's lectures in jurisprudence and the fundamentals of jurisprudence. In 1380 Hijri, Ayatollah Sistani traveled back to his hometown, the holy city of Mashhad, expecting to stay and settle down there. In the same year, he was awarded a permit by Imam Al-Khoi and another by Sheikh Hilli, certifying that he had attained the level of ijtihad, that is, deduction of legal judgment in matters of religion.
You know, we all know that, part of the entertainment that people have is watching movies or listening to the radios. So, whether they watch it online or offline or through television channels, they like to entertain themselves at their leisure time. And we also know that most of the movies which are made or produced, in fact, do not come from the Muslim countries. So some of them are basically produced and directed in countries where there are non-Muslims involved. And that's why some of the men and women are naked or half naked in it. Well, what is the Islamic law, Sheikh Javid, on this, according to Ayatollah Sistani? Is it permissible to watch such partial naked movies or with actors playing a part in it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it's absolutely forbidden for men and women to watch movies with women acting or playing without proper clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You just said the word naked. You used the term naked. There is no doubt about the prohibition of watching movies with women, with nude women. Of course, these movies are called pornography.
Yes,
I suppose, and it's absolutely forbidden to watch porn movies. There is no doubt about it, and of course, all the scholars are agreeable. There's a consensus about the prohibition of such movies. But okay, there are some movies. There are some movies with women not wearing hijab. They are, for example, partially naked. Their legs are, to some extent, exposed to the viewers. Ayatollah Sistani is of the view that it is permissible to watch these movies without lust, without having the intention to drive any pleasure. Okay?
I see.
If a person watches these movies with the sole intention of driving pleasure or with lustful intention,